Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But joining me now, we'll take your calls in a bit, three-time Super Bowl champion executive. He is the host of the new podcast, The GM Shuffle, with Adnan Virk on Cadence 13. You could follow him on Twitter at MLombardiNFL. Michael Lombardi is my guest. Michael, very much appreciate your time. I'll ask you the same question I'll ask the audience. What interests you most about this draft?
Oh, I think the fact that there'll be four trades guaranteed in the first round, because I think four quarterbacks will get drafted in the first round. And the fact that, you know, anytime a quarterback has been picked in the last few years, it's been a result of a trade. And the only player that hasn't, a quarterback that hasn't, is Baker Mayfield. So I think there'll be a lot of action in the first. I do think four quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. And I'm not sure there's four starting quarterbacks in the NFL. I think when we look back on this draft, I'm not sure we're going to think of it as a great quarterback draft.
So you think someone's trading up for Kyler Murray at one?
Well, I do think he'll go one, but I think the other three, there'll be more three trades, and I think there'll be other things that go on. So, yeah, you're right. There probably was just three trades. I was just thinking in terms of four quarterbacks going.
Kyler Murray will be historic in terms of his height or lack thereof. When you look at him on tape, do you see prolific NFL quarterback?
I see a real talented player. I see a guy with a great arm, great feet, great foot quickness, the ability to make throws from all over the field, his blazing speed. But I do see a problem against teams that understand how to rush the passer. I do see a problem with height. I do see a problem with a guy who's going to have to make a throw on third and eight with a lot of people around him, and he's got to see the quarter, he's got to see the receiver. And I think that's going to be a challenge. Look, it's one thing to win games in October. It's one thing to win games when you can make a lot of loose plays. But I think if you look at Russell Wilson, the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League right now, you watch him play last year when he was stuck in the pocket and couldn't really see, it was problematic. He had the best offensive line he's had in the last few years. He had one of the best running games, and yet his season of throwing the football last year wasn't the best.
So Michael, what happened? Is this because of the new coach? Is this because they don't like Josh Rosen? Is this the product of the new NFL? How did we get to a point where Kyler Murray is going to go number one overall, despite some obvious shortcomings?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, look, let's face it. Cliff Kingsbury was hired to save Josh Rosen, not to fire Josh Rosen. I mean, the whole reason they made the change and hired a guy who was the offensive coordinator at USC, who'd been fired as the head coach at Texas Tech, and I like Cliff. I think Cliff's a wonderful coach. I think he's got a bright offensive mind. But the whole reason, the genesis behind the hire, was to fix Josh Rosen. And now to turn that all in and say, go ahead, we're going to give up another one pick. We just spent $20 million on a quarterback, but no big deal. We'll spend another $20 million. I'm not sure that's sound. Here's the real issue, though, Danny. You can't trade away a player that you don't know what he is. If you really don't understand how talented he is or lacks talent, it's hard to trade the unknown, and I think that's what they'd be doing if they did it with Rosen.
Well, that was going to be the next question. You were a former GM and front office guy. What value do you assign to Josh Rosen?
Well, look, draft picks are like cars. Once they leave the showroom, they go down in value. Right.
Guy had
14 interceptions, 11 touchdown passes behind one of the worst designs offense in football last year. The offensive coordinator got fired before the month of September ended. Brian Leftwich, who never called a play before, took over. The offensive line was horrible. I don't know what the value is of Josh Rosen because I'm not sure. Look, they traded a 3 and a 5 to get Josh Rosen last year. They thought so highly of him, they wanted to go get him. So I don't understand what happened. Like, do they not like him in the locker room? Do they not like his leadership? Those are concerns you had about him coming out in the draft last year. Talent-wise, he is a talented player. There's no denying that. Is he a dynamic leader? I think there were some questions about that. Look, I talked about it before. I talked about how he was really committed to other things and other parts of his life that couldn't intersect with football. I took some heat from it from other people who misinterpret what I said on the air, and I think really – I'm not sure what Josh Rosen is in terms of player, character, leadership.
We're talking to Michael Lombardi. He's the host of a new podcast, The GM Shuffle, with Adnan Virk on Cadence 13 and the author of Gridiron Genius, wherever books are sold. Is the question of Kyler Murray's commitment still valid, given that he's given the signing bonus to the A's back?
Yeah, I do. I think it is. I think, you know, he's going to give this football a go. And look, why wouldn't he? I mean, he just watched Russell Wilson, a short quarterback, at $35 million and got 70 guaranteed. Why wouldn't he give this a shot? You know what I'm saying? So, and he knows that if he plays well in 4 years, he's going to get a huge deal. I mean, look, the reality of playing quarterback in the NFL is you don't have to be the best player. You just have to be available. And I think that hard to replace. Look, Andy Dalton isn't a great quarterback in the NFL, but he's hard to replace. I think Jared Goff's going to fall into that same category. Is he the franchise guy? No, but he's going to be hard to replace. So he's going to get money, and no quarterback's taking a discount.
So you said you don't love this quarterback draft. If you had to tie your job, your reputation, to one of the first-round quarterbacks, who are you tying it to?
I like Daniel Jones. I do. I think there's some limitations to what he can do. I think that he certainly has the ability. I don't see him the way Gil Brandt talked about him in terms of being the next Peyton Manning, but I do think he has some definite skills in this draft. I'm not a Haskins fan. I don't think he anticipates the throw very well. I don't think he makes precision-like throws. I think it's going to be a little bit of a problem for him. Plus, I'm not sure what dynamic leadership skills he brings in terms of, is he the hardest working guy on your football team? I would probably go in that direction. In terms of Daniel Jones, I mean, the Murray thing, I like everything about Murray until I worry about him in the pocket. Do I think he can win some games in the NFL? Yeah. Do I think he can beat great teams from the pocket? That's what worries me.
What about Drew Lock?
Well, I think Drew Lock's an interesting player. I think Drew Lock has got some definite skill set that you would like to have and develop. You just worry about somebody that hasn't always shown it to you all the time. I mean, in some of those times, when you have a great quarterback, a franchise quarterback, and you're playing in a conference, you should be able to bring a level of expertise and a level of winning to that team. And I'm not sure you saw it all the time with Drew Lock.
Let's go away from the quarterbacks now. We're talking to Michael Lombardi, his new podcast, The GM Shuffle, with Adnan Virk on Cadence 13th. Both these guys wildly talented. That'll be a great listen. There's the report that the Raiders have sent all of their scouts home.
Yeah.
That reads to someone like me like it's dysfunction, but maybe to you that's more normal. What do you make of that report?
I think it's actually smart. Look, Mike Mayock's come in. He inherited Reggie McKenzie's scouting staff. He realizes none of those guys are going to be part of his regime as they move forward, and all they can do is leak information out, you know, because they're not vested into this whole process. And I think he did the right thing in sending them home. I think what people don't understand about scouts is scouts' jobs are to grade players, write reports, get the information. On draft day, they're not making decisions. So if they're in the room on draft day, they're really on the sideline but don't belong on the sideline. I mean, if you go into the Patriots draft room, there's probably five people, and the scouts are in another room. If they need them, they'll call them into it. So for me, it was really just a way to understand what your role is. You know, there's a great thing about do your job in New England. Well, if you know what your job is, it's not to make the decision. You don't really need to be in a room.
When it comes down to something like this and you get up there and you're on the clock, how important is it to everybody in that organization to know that there's one person where the buck stops there with whoever it is?
Oh, I think it's real important. I think it's got to come from the coach. I think if the coach understands how to do it, it is. I mean, look, take Oakland. Everybody knows John Gruden's making the pick. I mean, Mike Mayock's going to be the front guy, but it's John Gruden's draft.
Okay, and you think that that's the right way to set it up?
I think it has to be, because the players have to sense that they work for the coach. The players have to feel like they're indebted to the coach. The guy that stands in front of them every single morning at 8 o'clock at the team meeting, they got to work for him. If they're working for the owner, if they think they're working for somebody else other than the coach, and their livelihood depends on the other guy, you have dysfunction within your organization.
Michael, who do you think the most talented player in this draft is?
I think it's Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive tackle from Mississippi State. You know, he tore his ACL as training. I think he's one of the most talented players in the draft. Quinnen Williams is another player who's really talented. Those two guys, to me, are the guys that I think are going to be blue-chip defensive linemen in the NFL for a long time.
That's where this draft is strong, right? D-line and pass rush?
Well, I think you got to be careful about the pass rush. I mean, There's some guys you worry about, are they really legitimately fourth best rushers? And when I say fourth rusher, meaning if you rush four guys down the line, can they win their one-on-one matchups on the outside? I think there's a lot of guys that can rush from the outside. I'm not sure everybody can win from the outside. I think you got to be able to play with power. You got to be able to run the corner, but you just can't run up the field and run past the quarterback. The worst place to be in football is 2 yards past the quarterback. He's yet to turn that way. Once you go past the quarterback, it becomes a game of 10 on 11 on 10. And I think that's problematic. I think you see a lot of those guys. I think when we look back on this draft 4 years from now, we will not view this draft as having a great pass rush. There'll be a couple good ones in it, but I don't think there'll be a bunch of great ones. Sweat, I think, is clearly the best rusher. However, that being said, he's got a medical concern on a lot of teams' board.
Interesting. Okay, so Clemson's going to have, it looks like, three defensive linemen in the first round. I watched every Clemson game just because my wife went there, and we watch every game, have for the last 5 years. I'm surprised at the order that I'm seeing these guys in mock drafts. Who do you like most of the Clemson prospects?
Well, I think Wilkins last year played really well. I think there's no doubt that he did. He played at a level that I think you feel like, look, he can dominate a game, you know. And I think that the reality of his play fits. I mean, he played fullback on some situations where you thought that, you know, look, he's so talented that he can do so many different things when you get him in there. And I think that talent, and I think the fact that defensive tackles certainly come back into play, because I think what happens is you need some guys that can pressure from the inside. I think when you can get that, I think it really makes a big difference in what you're trying to get done in terms of your pass rush. So I definitely like them. I like Dexter Lawrence too. I think he would be my second best player on the defensive line. I think he clearly has the skill set to play and move around. And then I think that when you break them all down, I think the one that worries me the most is Colin Farrell, not because I don't think he's a great rusher, but I think he's got to play inside more than he's got to play outside.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, Cleline Farrell, to me, he's just a freak of nature athletically. He's long. So you think he's, what, between positions in the NFL?
Well, I don't know if he has enough speed to really rush the corner and go speed to power. I mean, people try to compare him to Chandler Jones. I'm not sure he is Chandler Jones. Chandler Jones could really rush around the corner and create some havoc. I think he's more of an inside penetrator, using his quickness and going inside. Those long three techniques, guys that go inside and can play, they can affect the game. Look, Chris Jones at Mississippi State, that's how he made a career there, and that's what he's done at the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, so that now we're talking prospects to teams. Let's reverse engineer it and talk about a couple of interesting teams and their approach to the draft. We've got Michael Lombardi. He's the host of GM Shuffle, a new podcast with Adnan Virk on Cadence 13 and his book, Gridiron Genius, available wherever books are sold. The Packers went defense heavy in free agency. They've got a new coach. They've got Aaron Rodgers at the tail end of his prime, and they've got four picks in the top 78. What priorities would you expect them to try to execute in this draft?
Well, look, I think they're going to have to rebuild their offensive line, certainly. I think anytime you have that many picks, you got to go with the best player on the board. I think there's two boards that people don't talk enough about. We all talk about the vertical board, which are the players graded at their position, wide receivers one through the last one you would draft. But there's a vertical board. That's the vertical board. The horizontal board is how you relate the positions. How good is the corner compared to the running back? How good's the defensive tackle compared to the inside linebacker? And I think when you really pay attention to the horizontal board, I think what they'll definitely do there, I think that's what Green Bay will do. I think Green Bay can go anywhere they want on defense. I think they can improve their offensive line. I think that's what they'll do with those picks. I think they can take the best player available.
So where is this draft weakest? We were talking about strengths. Where is it weakest?
I don't think that the receivers aren't literally the level. I mean, you know, Metcalf is the number one receiver. He runs two routes. A.B. Brown's the second best receiver, another one from Mississippi. I mean, Mississippi had a really good left tackle in Clark. They had the two receivers we're talking about being first-round picks, and they had an average quarterback, and you're wondering how come they didn't score him more points. You know, the receivers are limited in what they do. I like Henry, the receiver from Arizona State, better than I do these other guys.
Interesting. And so your old team, the Patriots, they're very tough to predict. Do you have any inkling on what they're looking for this year?
I think when you pick 32, you really pay attention to the horizontal board. You cannot say, we got to have this, because you don't know what's going to happen. Malcolm Brown was a player that fell to us at 32 1 year after we won the Super Bowl. Never thought he would make it that far down. Did we need a tackle? Not really, but we took one, and he ended up being a good player for the 5 years he was in New England. So I think when you're picking 32, I think there could be a corner that comes down there, whether it's Murphy from Washington or whomever, but I think there could be a corner, could be an offensive lineman. I don't know if they'll get in the inside offensive lineman business because those guys tend to be one positional guys, and Belichick will always take a guy that has could play three positions, guard, both guards and center.
You mentioned a bunch of trades at the start of our conversation. Any sense or predictions on who you think is going to trade up?
Well, I think all the teams that think they need quarterbacks are going to trade up. I think that's the way you're going to get a quarterback. I think Washington could trade up. I think Denver could trade up. I think any team that thinks they need a quarterback has got to go get it. And there's a sense of desperation when you talk about that, Danny. I think you have to find a way to get it. You know you're in it, or you know you're competing with everybody else. We know the Giants eventually going to have to pick a successor to Eli Manning, even though Dave Gettleman's been telling us how great he's been playing for the last 6 months. But we know they're going to have to pick a successor to him. And we know Washington's looking for a quarterback. We know Denver's looking for a quarterback. A lot of teams talking quarterback.
Yeah, in terms of successors to, you know, Hall of Fame caliber players, right? At some point the Chargers will. At some point the Saints will. At some point the Steelers will. How do you balance that in terms of using a big draft resource on a team when you've actually got an established player? And in theory, Drew Brees or Ben Roethlisberger wouldn't want you to take a quarterback early. They'd want you to draft a player who can help them win now.
Right. Well, I mean, I think the Saints with Bridgewater being on the backup quarterback, I think they're good there. But I think the Chargers have to act now. I think that, you know, the one best time to take a quarterback is when you really don't need one right next year. That's the best time to take them. I know Gettleman was talking about following the Packers or the Chiefs model. Well, I mean, that would have been perfect if they did it last year. You know, that was the perfect time to take Sam Darnold. Follow that model. He would have been ready to play right now for you. So I think the best time to take one is when you think your quarterback has a year or year left or two, and you get a guy ready to play.
It should be interesting, as always. Read his book, Gridiron Genius. Listen to his new podcast with Adnan Verk on Cadence 13, the GM Shuffle. Follow the man on Twitter at MLombardiNFL. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.